APCA, LP, Petaluma, California.
You're living in an augmented reality ruled by machines. Your ears are being fed by algorithmic music. Take back control by letting me take you down to the underground of scenes that brought us punk, hip-hop, and everything in between. Reintervention with your host.
Welcome to another showing of Inside Petaluma. Hello, everyone in Petaluma and those listeners listening online. I'm Cindy Thomas. I co-host this show every Friday from 11 to noon with my co-hosts, Janice Cater-Thompson and Jason Davies. And Jason is absent today. I hear he's probably on the plane on his way back from, where was he, New York?
He's in New York.
Yeah. So, we have lots to talk about today, and we needed some testosterone in here, so we invited another guy to sit in with us today. No, I've made that up. We don't need that. But it's nice to have another body in here with us so we can have a nice discussion. So let's welcome Greg Weisinger.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning. Thank you.
And how do you title yourself these days? Do you have a title, or are you just...
Well, I'm retired, so... I still am active in a local group, Petaluma Tomorrow, and chair of that, although we are not as visible as we need to become. So,
well, that's, and Petaluma Tomorrow, I know I joined in 2002, so it's,
yeah,
not,
it's,
how old is
it's
it now?
It's been around. Well, that would be...
It's around since 2002.
Was it? I didn't know I joined.
Yeah, that would have been about right.
Yeah, that's about correct.
Yeah. Great group. We are fully into the election season, and the mailbox continues to grow with more and more literature.
It's getting more and more interesting, who's flexing their muscles and putting money in, and it's turning out to be Chevron, Phillips 66, and Valero Energy.
Yeah, under the name of Coalition to Restore California's Middle Class, including energy companies who produce gas, oil, jobs, and pay taxes. Committee major funding is from Chevron, Valero Energy, and Phillips 66.
Yeah, this is, 2010, when the Supreme Court voted that corporations were people with Citizens United, that has finally caught up, and it's in Petaluma now. And this is basically PAC money from big corporations trying to buy city councils. And you wonder why this particular group is behind Mike Harris, Powell, Conklin, Alonzo.
Right.
What's the ties?
Yeah, and the registered agent they have is a Stephen Lucas. Does anybody know who Stephen Lucas is?
I believe, is he part of the law firm? Is he one of the lawyers in the law firm?
I
believe
don't know.
He may be. I called that phone number the other day and asked about him. And I believe he is a lawyer in the law firm.
Oh, so this number for in San Rafael goes to a law firm?
Yes, it goes to a law firm.
Interesting.
Maybe people want to call it. Maybe we could give the phone number out.
Yeah. Well, it's on the flyer. It's 415-389-6800.
Well, if you look at this law firm, they're it's a very Republican, very conservative law firm. They've been around for a long time. And if you look at a lot of their clients, it really makes sense that this is where Citizens United is mm-hmm. headed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
I think what's really different, we've had at some level of outside money in city elections for years, but nothing of this scale. You know, I looked at the filings that they did for the and submitted to the city that this group submitted to the city. It's $82,000 on behalf of two candidates, Mike Harris and Powell alone.
Yeah.
That's what they've contributed to support Mike Harris, $66,000, is 1.5 times what Mike Harris has raised for himself. So yeah. Those are astounding numbers. And, you know, you sort of have to ask the question, why is Chevron, Valero, and Phillips interested in Petaluma? I mean, you know, we aren't that big a population, but we also have a seat on the council has a seat on the Bay Area Air Quality Board, and I'm sure they don't like Teresa Barrett, who's our current representative on that board,
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, I think they figure that if they can pick these people off one at a time and in the locales, that frees them up to do whatever they want in the Bay Area with regard to air quality and pollution.
Yeah.
You know, beside the fact that they just don't want progressives, it's as simple as that.
Well, what's interesting, if you look at this law group, they also support fracking. And there is fracking that goes on up by the geysers.
Yes.
And so, you know, we have fracking in Sonoma County, and people don't realize it.
Right.
And so, you know, you look at the fracking, you're looking at the air quality, and then you look at the position that Teresa has on the Air Quality Board, and I believe she's going to be chair next year. As if she's our mayor, she will be the chair of the Air Quality Board, and people do care about that.
Right.
But you really need to people need to start connecting the dots between Citizens United, this law firm, the environment. BACMED is, you know, the Bay Area Air Quality Board. And what are they really trying to do? What are they buying?
I don't know, but it's interesting that it's Chero, Valero, and Phillips 66. Now, who owns those stations here in Petaluma? Do you know?
There's a Sasaki that owns some of the stations. And there, it may be another group that owns one of the Chevrons. And then Chevron also owns some of the Chevrons themselves, yeah. And they own the properties.
Yeah.
You know, but there's definitely...
Well, there's some money there.
No, there's definitely big oil behind it. And I believe that in the past, Councilmember Healy may have some answers to this because I think he's worked with them before, and he may know more than we do as far as what's going on with this. I'd like to. It would be great to have him on, to ask him what he knows. We should invite him.
He's been kind of quiet during this election.
He's been very quiet.
Although I did see him, he was on a flyer. We just looked at it this
yeah,
morning.
Yeah.
Whose was it? Reagan's.
I think it was Reagan's. Yeah.
Yeah.
He shows up on that flyer.
He's endorsing.
But you know, it's really interesting. You know, when people say that local elections are nonpartisan, they're not nonpartisan. They're very partisan.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, when you vote locally, I want to know who I'm voting for. Am I voting for a Republican? I want to know what kind of a Republican they are. I want to know what kind of a Democrat I'm voting for. Because what I found in this election, a lot of the Democrats that are running seem to be more Sonomacrats, which are basically light Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pretending to be Democrats. And I was part of the endorsement process with the Sonoma County Democratic Central Committee. And boy, did I have my eyes open to how the process went and how in some ways I feel like it was shanghaied. And it was very disappointing. And I look at the Democratic Party and I'm thinking, you know, I'm not sure how long before the party actually implodes And but the Republicans will not implode, but the Democrats will, and I'm seeing that just in my own county firsthand. And it's a little concerning.
And I think there's also, I mean, at least I've been disappointed with what the North Bay Labor Council did. They endorsed Rob Conklin. And
that's right.
I find that astounding, given the candidates they could have endorsed.
Well, and giving the candidate and the possible history that he has with a letter to the editor that was written, and then the North Bay, you know, Maddie Hirschfeld wrote a letter supporting a guy that somebody said was a real bully. And I know that I reached out to him early on in the election, and I finally had to block him from my social media because he was just creepy. And, you know, and I have, this is written down. I mean, you know, we were writing back and forth corresponding, and I felt extremely uncomfortable. He seemed to be a real bully, and that's when I just kind of walked away because I didn't know who he was, what he was up to, but his writing to me was definitely a bully, and that's why I'm so disappointed that he was endorsed by labor unions.
I think one of the issues, unfortunately, and it's probably the same with the party, I think it's probably the situation with the Labor Council, is that the endorsements are being made on really thin information. You know, it's an interview that probably has the biggest impact. And if you do, if you interview well, if you come across and say the right things in that interview, it really moves you up. I think that labor, I think there's some other candidates that made much more sense than him.
Absolutely.
That didn't show well in those interviews, in a, you know, in an hour or a half hour interview. And that suggests to me that part of the problem is a flawed endorsement process.
Well, I would say that that's, you're correct. You really need to know who you're voting for and who you're interviewing. And this goes with the police department's interview process, or lack of. Candidates had to ask them for an endorsement. Not an interview, an endorsement. And if you were the right person, and apparently they knew to ask for the endorsement, then the police endorsed them. And it was just, it was a crazy process. And to the point that I actually wrote something on their site, and I was, you know, crucified by these people that are big, heavy supporters of the police department. It was pretty shocking, the language and the treatment of somebody with just an opinion. And it wasn't an opinion.
Yeah.
It was fact.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. But I did. I will have to say, Officer Ryan came to my house. McGreevy did come to my house and surprised me, and to talk about the endorsement process. And I had a good conversation with him. He was there for about an hour. I've known him since he was a student at Bernard Eldridge School with my daughter. He played in the neighborhood. And I thought it was a good conversation. But watching what the police are doing and the letter that they just sent out and their lack of endorsement, they never – I felt as though he gave me consideration that they would actually – check into Rob Conklin and see who is this guy. And apparently they didn't, because they did not question their endorsement of him. And he's a true bully.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure what happened on the Labor Council. I don't know what their process is. Having sat on that executive committee for many years, and then I retired a few years ago and was no longer on that, I don't know what their process is, but I know... you and I had this conversation, Janice, and that, you know, the folks who are doing interviews are asking the questions that pertain to their particular interests.
Right.
And they should be taking into consideration all the other window dressing out there, and not just, you know, do you support a minimum wage? Do you, you know, the things that...
Well, the thing is that they are deciding what is good for Petaluma.
Exactly.
And so they're manipulating the process, and that's what I saw in the Democratic Central Committee watching these endorsement processes. It was pretty shocking what I was watching. It was almost like the young Dems came in and it was a coup. And if you were a certain age, they feel as though we want to kick you guys out because we want to take over. That was basically what was said to me twice.
Yeah.
And I thought, I pay taxes. You know, I still live in this town, and all I'm hearing from the young Dems is, hey, we need to get housing to get those people out of their houses because they need to downsize, and so they're telling us now how we have to live. And I'm finding that a little disheartening.
Well, we've kind of been pushing for young people to get involved, and now you know we're getting what we asked for.
Yes, we are. Exactly. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. So it'll be an interesting. It'll see, because the paradigm for Petaluma will really shift depending on this election.
Yeah.
And
now, Petaluma tomorrow? They don't do endorsements, correct?
No, we do.
We do. Okay.
Endorsements.
Your process?
We've actually throughout the years gone through a set of different processes. This most recent one, we did it based upon primarily on what we knew about the candidates. It wasn't a very formal one. It was what we knew about the candidates and then putting out the members and saying, this is who the board is recommending.
Right.
And let us know if there's issues with it. And there wasn't. There wasn't any feedback on it. In the past, we've done things like send out a questionnaire, which has its own issues in it because, you know, they can be lengthy. If you do it right, you want it to be lengthy so you cover all the bases, but you don't always necessarily know what the written response really means.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure it's the best thing for the candidate either. And we've done interviews. I think there's value in the interview process because if you pay attention not just to what the candidate says, but how they respond to questions mm-hmm. about that and their demeanor and those sorts of things, that can provide you some good input.
Yeah.
I don't think it's an easy process, and one of the issues is it gets condensed into this short period of time. So if you haven't tracked these people, you know, if you don't know of them, you end up dependent upon pretty narrow sources of information. One of the things that we've been fortunate with is that we've been in town for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So we know who some of these players are.
Right.
Not all of them, but we know who some of them are. And we know how they voted in the past, if they're currently on council. And, we know Teresa Barrett pretty well. We mm-hmm. know most of the incumbents pretty well, one way or the other.
Well, even the newcomers, whom I didn't know before they filed for a campaign, I feel like I know them now because I make it a point to get in touch with them, and not just once or twice, but have conversations with them and
mm-hmm.
and talk it through. And I think everybody should do that. I know that the candidates I support are willing to talk with anyone. They have access on their websites. Some of them give out their telephone numbers. It's really a simple thing. Anybody can do it and should do it, I think.
Well, and that, I would agree with you, and it would seem to me that that's going to reflect on what kind of council member they would be.
Mm-hmm.
If they're willing to do it during the campaign, then it's reasonable to expect
right.
that they're being
right.
open like that during the, if they are elected.
And that goes back to when Rob Conklin announced, I just, you know, just friendly, very friendly, approached him, wanted to know who he mm-hmm. was, wanted to meet with him. And he just started getting, he even called himself snarky. That was his word, that he can be snarky. And then as the conversation just went on, I realized who he was by his actions. And he certainly doesn't represent me, and he certainly doesn't represent, I don't think, a lot of people in this town. But like the nation, Petaluma is divided. It's a 50-50 community. And people just seem to think that we're very progressive, but we're not. Petaluma is a pretty conservative town, actually.
Yeah.
And it was really an interesting trying to connect with somebody and then seeing how they treated you. They treated mm-hmm. you without respect. And I'm a voter. And that was the thing. He's a 40-some-odd-year-old boy that treated me without any respect, and I was treating him with respect by reaching out and wanting to meet with him. And he's the one that turned the knife. It's sad. And then he gets these endorsements by people I know and my police department.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is what's really disturbing.
Yeah. Well, I've never had a one-on-one conversation with him. He's one that I wouldn't call up on the phone and have a conversation with, because he told me more than I wanted to know about him at these forums. And I didn't like the eye rolling. I didn't like the arm flailing. That body language alone, I didn't like it. So.
Well, and in his past, we hear that he was a police officer, that he went through the police academy. We don't know if he's had a job. He may have had a job with Oakland for a short time. There are a lot of red flags with this person, and yet the police and even labor endorsed him.
Yeah.
Shocking. There were a lot of red flags with Donald Trump, too, when people put him into office.
Okay, so aside from those flyers that the gas company coalition sent out, looking at the mailers that came from Teresa and her campaign and Mike from his campaign, just looking at the difference in these, I mean, the one that Mike sent out, it's a nice-looking flyer, and he's got the organizations that are endorsing him and elected officials that are endorsing him on air, and he lists about, oh, I would say 25 bullet points of why he should become mayor for all the work he's done in the past 15 and a half years in Petaluma, and he's talked about himself a lot, and I would have thought, okay, it's a pretty good piece until I get to this last bullet point of, on his working together, we can, blah, 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 blah. Last bullet point, scrub Teresa's tubs. Bathtubs belong at home, not on the Water Street promenade. Now, who does that?
As somebody that doesn't have respect for a smart woman who thinks the woman is supposed to be home scrubbing the tubs.
Yeah.
Well, and I think he also knows that there's a certain sentiment. There's a group of people that are opposed to that, and that's a way to appeal to those people in kind of a flip way. What that doesn't do is it doesn't give credit to the process. There
right.
is a process.
Exactly.
And my view on this is whether you like a given piece of art or not, follow the process and work the process.
Mike Harris also voted for that process.
Right.
So
right.
he's very aware of the process, and to turn around and use it against a candidate when he is the one that voted for this process,
exactly.
that is really shameful.
Exactly.
You know, I think the other thing is that, and I don't know Mike Harris today versus 2 years ago or 4 years ago, but he was a proud Republican for a long time.
Yeah.
And his cohorts in the Republican Party are people like Rudy Giuliani and Sarah Palin and those, mm-hmm. the people that to me legitimize craziness in today's political environment.
Mm-hmm.
Just registering as unaffiliated, it doesn't convince me that he still isn't a believer in that kind of process. I haven't heard him come out and say, you know, here's why I dropped my affiliation with the Republican
right.
Party. And to me, saying, well, now I'm unaffiliated really doesn't address that issue. If he's a Republican and he's proud, then say it. You know, yell it from the highest mountain. That's what his, that's his right. But this kind of, to me, it's kind of disingenuous
yeah.
to just say, well, now I'm unaffiliated.
I think the other thing is that he is definitely being supported by the very conservative Republican law firm, a very prominent Republican law firm. Even though this is paid for by Chevron, Valero, and Phillips 66, he is not saying that he doesn't agree with them. He's mm-hmm. silent on this. And a good candidate and an honest candidate would come out and say, I don't agree with this, and he would support work with Teresa to stop this kind of money coming into campaigns.
Well, this one here, the Scrub Teresa's Tubs, it came from Mike.
That's right.
That wasn't even the coalition.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. But
it all ties together with who is Mike Harris?
One thing I will say in his behalf is he is a he's very responsive to voters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've had situations where I've called him or asked him if he would do something, and that's something to be applauded. Not that other candidates aren't, but he is very good at that, and he should get points for that, because if you send him a note, he gets back to you.
Mm-hmm. True.
And I can think of some current council members who just, if you send them a note and it's not something, it's something that's challenging them, you know, you'll never hear from them.
I'm not even sure where current council members live anymore. It seems like there's
so
question about that,
yeah,
also.
Exactly.
That's another story.
So in any case, I mean, I do think there that he does deserve some credit for that relative to some of the other folks who currently sit on that council.
Yeah. And he has worked very hard for 4 years to keep himself visible.
Yeah.
That is another point. To make. So,
you know, it's interesting. He lists all of these things that he's done. What has he really done? What has he started and completed? I don't know one project that he has started.
Well,
and
that's
completed.
What he says. All those bullet points there are,
well,
the work that he's done in the last 15 and a half years.
I would say that this is quite an embellished list. Anybody can get on a committee. And if you are connected with the right people in the county, you can get on committees.
Yeah.
And then once you're on a committee, then you can write down that I was on this committee. You may not have participated. Sometimes you don't even go to meetings. But you have the ability to write it down. So people really need to look beyond what people write about themselves.
Yeah. And then you look at Teresa's mailer. A nice mailer, and just keeps it simple. This is very busy. Mike has a very busy looking list here, and Teresa's just got these 7 points here that drive it home. Yeah. So, anyway, I guess you know who I'm voting for.
Actually, I put my ballot in the mail this morning.
Yeah.
And I sat down, and, you know, always be really cautious. Never vote when you're angry. You need to, like, put your ballot and, you know, aside, and you sit down, and when you're very calm, you just sit and, you know, you go through, you read everything over and over again, but always make sure that you're really calm the day that you're voting,
yeah,
because you really want to make sure that you're voting your values and you're not voting knee-jerk because of what a candidate may have said. And so you really need to look at the material, understand the material. And I think there's a lot of political 101 that is lost in this in elections.
Yeah.
People really don't know history of politics. They don't know history of government, and people are listening to the last thing that they said, and then they go out and vote. And that's why it's really important to stop and pause before you vote. Talk to people that you trust,
right,
and ask hard questions. And ask hard questions of yourself. Of what are your values? What do you really want for your community? You know, I look at the Measure M, the Parks Bond Measure. You know, it's a tax. It's a quarter, eighth of a cent, but it's for only 10 years, and parks are good. It's good for our overall health. Three quarters of it goes into county parks, and a quarter of it, I believe that's what it is, goes into local parks. And it really is good for everybody. And you really have to look at it not just as a sales tax, but what are the benefits out of it?
Yeah.
And today, people want a bike ride, they want to walk, they want to be healthy, they want a safe community, they want to be able to walk in their community and be safe. They want to go to parks, and it's a health issue.
Yeah.
And so you just look at things and evaluate.
Yeah, and that's how we look at it. I did talk to a friend last night who told me he was voting no on M. And I asked why, and he said, because I don't go to parks.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
But does he have grandchildren? Do they go to parks?
No. Nope. He was just very set. I'm not voting for any more taxes. No more taxes.
Well, there is one thing that is of interest that I'd like to talk about as time goes on about bonds and the difference between bonds and a property tax measure. And, you know, when you have senior citizens that are on fixed incomes, a bond for a school you cannot go to the tax assessor and say, I really can't afford this extra money. But with a property tax, a specific tax, you can. And so this is why they're going to bonds. And so my next thing in my next life in about a month or so, I'm going to start really understanding bonds well, understanding how that works, and really looking at the pros and cons of bonds.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been doing some research because the Old Adobe School District right now is doing a bond measure. And I'm not going to be supporting it because if you're a senior citizen on a fixed income and there's a lot on the east side, you cannot reverse that off your tax bill. Mm. And, you know, let's not get into Prop 13 and all the pros and cons of that, but people need to be able to also afford to live in your community. Mm. And like I say, I always say, look at this one chair I saw at Costco. You know, this is a year ago, it was $14.99, and the next year it was $19.99. That's a big increase. You go and you buy some milk for somebody, basic food. And people don't realize people are on fixed incomes.
Yeah.
So we have to look at everybody.
It's problematic when we talk about things like a sales tax. I mean, it's easy for me to say, yeah, what's a quarter of a cent? But if you're a low-income person, quarter percent on your grocery bill may mean that one night you're eating cereal instead of, a nutritious, healthy meal.
Right.
We tend to forget that there are people, a lot of people, that are on the margin. And a few bucks one way or the other makes a difference. When I, at one point, I was talking to folks who do the St. Vincent de Paul, the society that gives out charitable monies to families. And I was surprised to find that what they do is most of their gifts are like $5 or $7. You know, I mean, there's these small amounts. And it kind of recognizes that there are people that are on the edge and they need $5 to buy dinner for their kids tonight. I mean, and $5 doesn't get by you much, but, you know, it's easy to forget that there are people where those incremental changes can push them over the edge.
Well, and then, you know, what we started the conversation about was special interest money. Citizens United, $66,000 has gone into Mike Harris's shadow campaign, which is what I look at it as. And yet, those same people are looking at adding taxes, increasing taxes in our community. And I would like to see that shadow money taken out, and I want to see that my tax dollars go toward more social issues, my federal money, not just to the military. So,
And you know what? We need to have Elise Temple on here one day so we can talk about this more.
That would be great.
Yeah.
You need to have somebody that works with it every single day. It's really easy for me to say something, but I want to hear what somebody sees every single day.
Yeah. Well, I volunteer for Petaluma People Services every Tuesday. They have an iRide program where we drive seniors who are no longer able to and don't have anybody to help them with that. So I'm making a lot of trips on Tuesdays to the food bank, and it's sad. It's a sad thing.
Oh, it really is. I mean, this is in Sonoma County.
Yep.
I mean, this is, you know, I really have a difficult time separating the fact that California is the fifth largest economy in the nation, and that we have all the homeless, we have people that don't have enough food, and I have a problem with that, and I don't know what the answer is. And I was reading an article today in San Francisco. They're trying to do a tax for the homeless, and there's this one business that has shifted and decided that they are
Salesforce,
exactly, that they are supportive of it. And then the other business,
Twitter,
is not supportive of it because they feel like they need to have a better plan. We need to we need to really know what we're doing, which I do agree with that. You really need to know what you're doing. But if you don't start somewhere, where do we end up? And going down to San Francisco and seeing the amount of homeless people down there is something's wrong with our society.
Even here.
Yeah. And in Petaluma, I mean, the amount of homeless people here is amazing. And, you know, when the Rainier Undercrossing is built or that freeway is raised, that is an entire area that's going to be a homeless area, and the police have not addressed it. It's an issue for all of California. I was, a year and a half ago, I was down in L.A. taking some CE classes for my dental hygiene license, and I could not believe, I had never seen tents in the middle of mediums.
Oh.
Literally. Yeah. In the middle of a medium on a roadway, there were tents and people living there. And you just don't get that out of your head. You just keep seeing that. And then, you know, the Press Democrat has been having articles about the homeless. And they've been very good articles, except the article they had yesterday was a repeat of an old article because it was the exact same language that they had used before. So are we really moving forward, or are we just trying to get a message out there?
Well, I think one of the issues on a lot of these is that, you know, you look at things that we've privatized. We've kind of privatized poverty.
That's right.
We've said it's not society's issue anymore. It's a charitable organization, if they can handle it. But it's society doesn't have responsibility for it. And we've done that in a bunch of different things. I mean, in some ways we do that with our military. You know, we now have these, you know, we hire companies to fight our wars for us, and that keeps everything below the, you know, below the view of the public. And
that's why the Vietnam War stopped, because people got out and protested because they saw what was happening. And, you know, and I was very connected to that because I had a cousin killed in Vietnam. My brother was in Vietnam, and he was a Marine right on the ground, as everybody else I know was getting out because they were in college, which I admire that. You know, I don't have a problem with it, but I know what it was like to be in junior high, having a brother in high school, having a brother in the war, not knowing if he was alive one day to the next. And now what we've done, we've privatized our military. A lot of it started with faith-based. We want faith-based. Well, faith-based is not my cup of tea. I prefer that the government, my tax dollars go to these, because I know that, well, I don't know that that money's not going to be pulled, because it was. But it was very much a religious push to get, it was a very much religious conservative push to get that kind of money out of government. And if you do it on a faith-based, you get a tax write-off, and you separate, and you have less government. And less government doesn't necessarily mean that people are cared for.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. So. Agreed.
Well, I was just, while we were talking, looking at a couple more of these mailers, and I wanted to talk a minute about these paid advertisement mailers that we get. And it's interesting. Here's one that says, "Attention Republicans, Election Day Voting Guide." And they have listed for Mayor Mike Harris and for City Council Dennis Posake.
That's the second one they have done that with Dennis Posake.
Yeah. There's another one here that I guess it's an updated one that also lists Scott Alonso and Michael Regan with Dennis Posake. So
they're definitely somebody knows something, and they're doing this because of polls and figuring out how they're going to divide and get their boys in.
Right.
And I'm telling you, it's all delusion.
Mm-hmm.
And when these young boys are in, hold on to your pocketbooks, people.
Yeah.
Because all they're saying is, I'm going to do this tax, I'm going to do that tax, I'm going to do this bond. All the young kids are saying that. And so that's why I want to learn more about bonds.
Yeah. I only went to one candidate forum. That was the one at the hotel. And that's, I heard a lot of taxing going on in the answers. So that's not
well, I, you know, I don't have a problem with the tax that's structured properly.
Exactly.
And addresses the right problems. I think one of the issues that as a society, and Petaluma reflects it, is that there's some kind of belief that the things that we use every day, like our highways or, you know, radio stations, all that stuff is free somehow.
Yeah. Right.
And that, you know, and that I should be able to opt out of some tax because, you know, there's something I don't like.
Yeah.
Well, it isn't free.
Yeah.
And we see what happens when our infrastructure isn't paid for over time. So I think it's a matter of how you structure the taxes and who pays. You know, we have a lot of people using resources a lot more than that homeless person.
Yeah.
And they're paying little or no taxes because they've been able to hire an attorney and a tax person to keep them, you know, to become tax-free.
Sharpen the pencil.
Sharpen the pencil.
Right.
So, you know, I don't have a problem paying my taxes. I just want them to be fair across the system.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep. And, you know, too many times we have not seen that. Mm-hmm. And it sours people. So how do you get people back on board to realize
I think that's
the benefits?
Yeah.
It is a big challenge.
Yeah.
You know.
And I know you love to talk about the gas tax, Prop 6.
You know, what I have the biggest problem with gas, the Prop 6, is that if you vote yes, it has to be a vote of the people to do a gas tax. And I am not a person that likes propositions or initiatives. And the public doesn't necessarily know what you're voting on. And I don't think it's a good idea to let the public decide if we need to increase a gas tax. And that's kind of like a poison pill in that one. But on the other hand, when I look at the Prop 6 and I see the propaganda, and then I look at our own community, the fact that the Corona overcrossing is not part of it, and I encourage people to get on their bikes, get in their cars, and walk over that overcrossing and drive.
I won't do it again.
But I encourage people to do that because I've asked Kathy Miller if she would do it. I've asked David Rabbit if he would do that with me. And they won't do it, but then they get on and they start bullying me around for questioning Prop 6 and where the money's going. And I really don't like it when I have Kathy Miller, our city council member, and David Rabbit, our supervisor, bullying me when I can read too. I can understand things too. We can have a conversation, let's meet, and they won't even meet with you.
Yeah.
That's when I have a real problem. And then you start wondering, do I trust these people with my tax money? And then you have candidates saying, we're just going to bond for it, and we're going to build Rainier. Well, that means the street in front of your house is not going to get fixed.
Yeah.
And they can't legally bond for it anyway. So that kind of makes you question what their knowledge is. And knowledge is important, but not in politics anymore.
Well, I think what's kind of interesting about Rainier is that it's sort of, for certain candidates, it's sort of the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, if I were Mike Healy and some of those characters, and the last thing I want to do is have it built, because then now you don't have anything to run on.
Exactly.
So I mean, it really is this, and you know, this going back to a poll that was taken, 15 years ago?
Right, exactly.
We probably turned over half our population since then.
Well, and the interesting thing about the poll is they said, do you want it?
Yeah.
And they said, yes, we do. And then the next time it was on the ballot, would you pay for it? They said no.
Yeah.
So people want something, but they don't want to pay for it.
Exactly.
And so that's what, but the newspapers have also perpetuated this.
Oh,
I mean, they've enjoyed it all along.
It's food for fodder.
Exactly.
It's fodder for
Well, I find it very funny that they blame one person in the town for it not being built. It has nothing to do with money. It's the blame game.
Yeah.
And this is why things don't get done in this town, because they're too busy playing politics instead of getting things done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting.
My fear
is that, you know, Petaluma Community Access, which is the sponsor of this KPCA even existing. PCA gets money from the city through an agreement that we have. It's from money that they get from Comcast and AT&T. So we get a check every month from the city so that we can still operate. And my fear is that the new council might not want to have programs like ours on the air and do away with that agreement. I mean, we have the agreement for another 3 years, but...
It's not very long.
No, it's not very long.
Yeah.
And,
and most of these agreements, you can, without violating the agreement, you can make it pretty uncomfortable for, if you're opposed to the what's going on, you can make it pretty uncomfortable.
Right.
I mean, I'm willing to believe that if, independent of the agreement, if there's a council that doesn't want you on the air, they
well,
can do
you know,
things.
I don't know if you remember, what's his name, the ex-CHP that was on the
show. Oh,
Mike O'Brien.
Oh, Mike O'Brien.
Mike O'Brien had a TV show, and he'd like to take credit that he was elected based on his having that television show. Do you guys remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then it was after he got up there on the dais that it was him that was suggesting that they do away with giving us that money.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
That's when I got real active with PCA. So I was like, no, we're not going to rely on the Argus Courier to report what goes on at these city councils.
Well, it's the Trump mentality.
Yeah.
You know, make people the bad people. They're bad. They're the bad ones.
Yeah.
And, you know, that he didn't start that. That was well before Trump was elected.
Yeah.
But he has just been a master at making it so much deeper and hurtful.
Yeah.
And I mean, he has brought racism to the forefront, and in our community also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's not that racism wasn't here. It's just
absolutely
that they brought it to the forefront and.
Well, they've begun to legitimize it.
Yes,
again.
They've legitimized
it. Give people a green light, so to speak.
That's right. That's right. I have to say, I mean, this is the craziest thing, but I have this boat in my neighborhood, and these guys can just park it there for as long as they want. The police don't do anything. There is a long record of it. There is a motorhome in another part of the neighborhood that somebody has been complaining about. The city is doing nothing about it. There's an ordinance that needs to be changed. And it's almost like taunting at this point. But this one guy happens to be a firefighter. And so I've asked the city, why don't you bring the ordinance back and just exempt government employees?
Mm-hmm.
And then you won't, there's no problem. Anybody that works for the government can park wherever they want. And this is not a small fishing boat. This is a large,
mm-hmm.
you know, a decent-sized mm-hmm. commercial fishing boat. And it's just, it's shocking what happens in this town that people don't really know. And then you get taunted and tormented for bringing it up.
Yeah, most normal people, though, unlike us, just don't get so deep into the politics of this town.
Well, they don't read ordinances and stuff.
We thrive on it.
It is pretty funny.
You know, I agree with you. I think that most people don't get into it. And I, we were talking earlier about some of the issues. And, you know, one of the things that's clear to me is that it's not easy to be a good citizen.
That's right.
I mean, and to know all of the issues and understand them. I had a kind of conversation back and forth around the school board, and you know, I don't have children, so I have a different relationship with the school board and the issues there. I do have an interest in it because I think our community, and if for no other, you know, just a crass economic interest is, if we have a good school system, my property values are higher.
That's right.
So you know, I mean, I can get it down to a pretty base level. But it's not if it's not easy. It's work to be a good citizen.
Yeah.
And we don't always the politicians and the people that support them. You know, we don't always make it easy for our cohorts. because we kind of feed the information we want them to hear, and I'm guilty of that. Everybody is at some level. And I don't know how you get around some of that. The overload and the expectation. If you really wanted to, the amount of time that it would take, if you really wanted to know all these candidates and all the issues, it would, it's staggering.
Yeah. Well, that's what's nice when you have electeds that do these town halls. Sheriff
agrees.
Is very good about
yes,
that.
He is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And transparency is everything.
Yeah.
So if we could see more of that here in town, that would be
great. I think that's a great idea.
And in this election, we're seeing the opposite.
Yeah.
There's not transparency. And when you ask for transparency, people just slam you for asking for it, saying, I've already showed it to you. No, you didn't, because if you did, I would see it. And the manipulation is pretty powerful.
Yeah. Well, after the election, let's invite people on and see how transparent they are.
Right. Well, next week we're going to have Brian Sobel on.
Yeah, that's why you're going to have Brian on,
and you're not going to be here. So we want to hear from both sides. We just don't want to have what we have to say. I want to ask him questions, and I think it's going to be pretty interesting. Hearing what he has to say about the election, the campaign, because he's in communications. He understands this stuff too. And so it'll be interesting to see what the dynamics is. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
One-on-one, he's a good guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was flipping through my emails just a few minutes before we came on, and Dottie Lemieux wants to come on and talk also.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah. She wants to come back. So I think, we still have the station for a couple of years until somebody undoes that. Well,
no, that's disturbing when you said that, actually.
Yeah.
Because that really can happen. And,
that's the only reason I'm sitting here today is because of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it did go back to, privatizing our military, starting with Blackwater. And people don't even know who Blackwater is. You talk to people about Citizens United and who's paying for it. And somebody said to me, who's Citizens United? I thought the person was joking. And I said, are you joking? You don't really know what Citizens United is? And this was a college graduate with a science background. That's what's frightening. When you start looking at the people that are making comments like that. And
I'll put that on the list. We're going to have to talk about that then, too.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so much to talk about.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Greg, are you going to be – have been traveling lately?
Actually, I just got back from a trip up the Danube.
Oh, you did? Yeah. How was
it? It was great. I probably shouldn't say this, but I called it the new fascist Europe tour.
Right.
It really is disconcerting when you think of what's happened to some of these governments.
Right.
You go to a place like Hungary that when I was growing up, Hungary and the Czech Republic, or Czechoslovakia at that time, the 68, rose up against the Soviets, and Hungary in 56 rose up against the Soviets, I kind of looked at them as the people in the streets, pushing back, and it's disappointing to see them. But I will tell you, they're a beautiful country.
Yeah,
it's spectacular.
But it's kind of frightening to see how the world is really changing, and politics in countries that fought for freedom are going in the opposite direction, just like, this country.
It's also kind of interesting to be an American traveling now, because I always I keep a little lower profile than I might have 5 years ago.
Right, exactly.
That's...
But you're still active in Petaluma tomorrow, so...
Yeah. Hopefully, I've got some ideas about how we can gin it up again.
Well, if folks are interested... Folks are interested, you've got a website.
Yep.
You want to mention that?
It's www.petaluma.org, I think. I think there's a dash between petalumatomorrow.org.
Petaluma-tomorrow.org. Okay.
People can always email me directly. My email is greg.reisinger, reisinger@sbcglobal.net.
Okay.
One of the things that we've done in fits and starts that I've always wanted to push more on is to develop candidates, to get people early on and get them mentored by people that have been through the process so that they know what they're getting into, they know how to react, they know how to analyze policies and make decisions, and that they can move up through the system. Because the folks that get elected at city council, they're the folks who are going to be in line to be our next congressperson, our
right.
next senator,
that's right.
You know, our next supervisor, all those things. And we need to make sure there's a good cohort of candidates
right.
That are moving through the system. And they need to be willing to do it multiple times. You know, I always ask somebody, if you lose, are you willing to run again? Because, you know, losing, you may lose and say, well, I learned that this isn't for me.
But that would be me.
but I also think that there's people that lose and they get discouraged. And ideally, the first run, is just to get your name, well, hopefully you win, but it's to get your name out.
Right.
And once you do that, to run again and win.
I think it's really important that winning or losing an election, staying involved is really important.
Yeah,
and so many times I have seen people run and then they are just gone.
Yeah.
And so what were they running for in the first place? And I think it's really important that people understand what the process is. They want to stay involved. And it's really about getting a group to get people together and actually working together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really the hardest part, is keeping groups together.
Yeah.
It's discouraging. Mm-hmm. You know, we have families, all kinds of things.
Yeah.
But I agree with you, Greg.
Okay. Well, our time is up. So go to InsidePetaluma.com for more information on our show. There's some links there. Follow the links. You'll be able to see where the money is going in these elections. You got to follow the money. And we will be back to see you again next Friday at 11 a.m. And thanks, Greg, for being here.
Absolutely. Thank
and
you.
Everybody, have a great weekend. See you
Thank
later.
You.
All right.
Petaluma, California. Hello, Petaluma. It's Friday, and you know what that means. It means it's time for two mooks and a mic. Only today, there's only one MOOC, me, Jim Thomas. Matt is on assignment. For this show, I'm doing something different than the regular show. I invited two guests to join me. They are John Crowley, owner of the Aquas Cafe and community activist, and Val Richmond, formerly the executive director of the Petaluma Arts Center. They're part of a group that is starting something new here in town. They call it The Convergence. I invited them over to my house where we sat in my dining room, and over coffee and some pastries, we talked about this new thing. So, here it is.
Well, thank you for coming today. What do you call this organization that you started? And I don't even know who started
it. When did it start?
Started last January.
Started last January with an art show.
Yes.
It was, maybe you can talk about the art show.
Newly retired, but I was in fact the director of the Petaluma Art Center when the Power of 10 exhibition idea was born, which was last fall, about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And one piece in that exhibition was a photograph by Douglas Gayton, I think the face of his last name,
mm-hmm.
Who is a really interesting photographer, and he wanted to focus on Power of 10, which is the name of the exhibition, but also community. And the Art Center's mission is building community through art. So he chose the most community-minded person he could think of, and that is John Crowley.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting right here, and asked John to choose 10 other communities that are activist community builder types. I was one of them. And then Doug took a picture of the 11 of us. And that was in the exhibition.
where Doug took it a little farther and what has now become Convergence is he asked the 10 of us, and John had chosen his 10 already,
yeah.
And he asked each of the 10 of us mm-hmm. to choose 10.
And then I remember, well, you were sitting around the table that day, and you said, well, why don't we choose all? I think it was your idea,
well,
actually.
Maybe
and
it
might
was,
be a conversation
it well
between
been,
you and
yeah,
Doug.
It may well have been. So we were asked to choose 10. And it was a great two-sided photograph that hangs from the ceiling.
Yeah.
Big monstrous thing.
Yeah.